John Shannon joins us once again. John, you've been around this for a long time. Of course, you used to work for the NHL. They talk about it, and now they'll debate it. Of the six main points that we saw, which ones do you think are most likely to be put in place for next season?
Well, Jason, I tell you what. I mean, I don't think there's any question that the trapezoid will be expanded by 2 feet on either side. I don't think there's any question that the overtime, the dry scrape, will now occur before the overtime as opposed to before the shootout, and they'll swap ends. All the other ones in my mind are a little subjective and it still needs some discussion. Video replay, I think, will get expanded, but it won't get expanded as much as people want it to be. And then the other things like people actually knowing the rules for goalie interference, people actually knowing what is a dive, embellishment, that type of thing. So, I think there's really the two that are well down the way. And then we probably will get a sense tomorrow after the general manager's meeting in New York City of what else is going to be contemplated before it goes to the board meeting and at the end of June, and then for approval in August.
Is there anything you feel they overlooked? And the explanation as far as why video review isn't good, or more of it anyway, they just said, well, it's not good, but couldn't give a reason why. Anything you uncovered as to why more expanded review isn't a good thing for the NHL?
Well, the bottom line is that, and if you look at what video review does now, and you look at a couple of the things that are very subjective situations on the ice for video review, particularly, for instance, high sticks, sticks above the crossbar for goals. You're relying on television that is not an absolute science when it comes to angles and quality of replays and camera positions. And I'm not sure that it would be any different now for goalie interference or the such. I mean, Coley Campbell is one of those guys that actually wants more video reviews, but wants to make sure if they do it, they're not going into a Pandora's box. He's very aggressive, but at the same time, it's a cautious aggressiveness, and that's one of the reasons why things take a long time to do. He wants to actually do offside because there's been too many offsides that have been very controversial in the last couple of years. That said, if there are 10 controversial offsides all season long and three of them cause goals, are we really worried about three goals being put in the net over a 1,230-game schedule? So, it becomes economies of scale, Jason. I mean, do we take all this time? And everybody says they want to get it right, but do you get it right at the, about not trying to be out of Rexall before 11:30 p.m.? That's the other part of this thing. They want to keep the game moving.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you need to review everything whatsoever, and I, it's interesting that depending who you talk to on the King goal, some people thought it was goaltender interference, and half the people, even on the competition committee, felt that it was a good goal.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at it from the point of view of King is in there, but Ryan McDonagh pins him against the goaltender and doesn't allow him to get out. There are hard and fast rules. Video replay in the National Hockey League is the absolute best in professional sports. The other sports have come to rely on the NHL for its science of how it's operated this system and its simplicity. The Major League Baseball, when they went to their video replay system and a centralized video replay operation, they came and sat with the NHL for hours on end. So did the NBA. And the NFL had worked closely with the NHL. I mean, it's one of those things that we were very critical of hockey, those of us inside it, and we never think that it's as good as it should be. And it's a classic case of the grass is always greener in other sports. But in many ways, the video replay system that the NHL has created over the last, 20 years is the best in pro sports, and the other sports recognize that.
John, Edmonton Oiler AHL farm coach Todd Nelson, who was Cornell at Freeman, has been interviewed for the Carolina head coaching vacancy. Supposedly they're doing a thorough job. Any other names you're hearing? No. And I'm assuming they would have a head coach in place before the draft.
I don't know about before the draft. I think Ron Francis is probably in the same situation that Jim Rutherford now is in Pittsburgh. I think they want him in place before free agency. I'm told the number of people that have talked in Carolina is now upwards of 10 bodies, including guys like Mark Crawford. And at the same time, Ron Francis is still waiting to talk to Ulf Samuelsson, who I truly think is at the top of his list. And I think that it's Ulf Samuelsson's job more than anybody else's at this point. So you have to wait until the Rangers are finished, which, you know, obviously could be as soon as tomorrow. But that's where that situation goes. Jimmy Rutherford in Pittsburgh, by the way, is going to start his discussions with coaching interviews next Monday.
You look at the Vancouver Canucks. Are they just waiting for the Calder Cup to finish?
Well, one would think so. Again, Willie Desjardins on that list. Or are they waiting for John Stephens, who's, you know, obviously done a very good job with Daryl Sutter's staff in Los Angeles. Stephens was pretty high on the Canucks list and the ownership's list last year. The key question to me, Jason, in Vancouver is we know the Aquilini family were heavily involved in the hiring of John Tortorella last summer. Will they be as involved this summer with Trevor Linden and Jim Benning there? That to me is, I think, the key question. If the family is still heavily involved, then I suspect John Stephens will get a great look, as opposed to the discussion that it's Willie Desjardins' job, who's coaching the Austin Stars in the American League Championship, and they're on their way to St. John's, I guess, right now. But those are the options right there. And again, I mean, you have to wonder about Dan Bylsma, too. Lots of rumors out of Vancouver that Bylsma would be popular there, but I keep hearing he's going to talk to Dale Tallon tomorrow in Florida, and I would be shocked in many ways that if he isn't hired as the next coach of the Florida Panthers.
Why would he choose Florida over Vancouver?
Taxes, huh? Weather.
But don't you want to win as a coach?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you look what Dale Tallon is creating there, and if you maybe you actually get more time and less pressure in Florida, you know.
Sure.
I mean, when you look at situations, and I mean, let's look at the last American-born coach that coached the Vancouver Canucks. How'd he do? No, not very well. You know, it's a different culture. A lot of people embrace the pressure of coaching and playing in Canada. A lot of people don't too, and I think that's one of those things that you have to look at. And I think when you have a situation for Bylsma, who's out of that frying pan in Pittsburgh, if somebody actually has a great deal of interest in him in Florida, again, no state tax, and a good young team or a promising young team and another promising young player on the way on the 27th of June, heck, why not look at that situation?
And that's fair. Although, you know, even in Florida, they say no pressure, but they've had 12 head coaches in 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, coaches are hired to be fired, Jason. And it's one of those ones where if you can get a 3 or 5 year deal out of a team, why not look at it? I do think that Dale Tallon's relationship. Dale was involved in the USA Hockey program and the selection of the team, and I think that's where he and Bylsma first met each other, and I think there was a healthy respect between the two.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we all know that connections definitely play a part when guys are getting hired or not. Here in Edmonton, Craig Ramsey and Dallas Aikens didn't have a huge connection, maybe a short time in Florida, really, and that's it. But, you know, a very experienced coach, I think a good hire for the Oilers. What do you think?
Well, I love the hire for the Oilers. And by the way, they may not have been directly involved with each other, but both of them are protégés of the great Roger Neilson.
Yep.
And how many times do we hear Dallas talk about Roger? I remember how many times that we sat with Craig and Roger in situations to discuss possibilities. I think Craig Ramsey and Keith Acton, I think they are a solid coaching staff for Dallas. And to me, it's also just an indication of the support that Dallas is getting from ownership and from management with the Oilers.
John, always good to catch up with you quickly. Rangers, do they win a game in this series or is it over?
I'm waiting for them to score another goal now. You know, so anyway, it's going to be hard, but unfortunately, it's men and boys right now, and the men are winning.
The men are definitely winning. I appreciate it, John.
Say hello to Dallas for me, and I know it's hard to believe, Jason. I cannot make the golf tournament tomorrow.
That's unfortunate.
You know, I don't think they'd like a Sportsnet guy at the golf tournament.
Oh, well, you know what, though? I think there'll be a few of them there. They'll just be on the driving range. They don't know that yet, but it'll be a lot of fun.
The Sportsnet caddy group?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Have a great day.
Take her easy.